It's all right.
Come and sit down. No, everything's fine. Just relax. We're all much nicer than you think here, and we're going to get along. The campfire is warm, so just sit down. Now, listen, folks, I know what, you know, has been going around the camp this week, right? All of the stories about the ghost and everything, and I don't want people to be afraid. And the best way that I know to cure fear is to give you the facts. And so I am going to be honest with you, and I am going to tell you exactly what happened. And I have this from like 9 different sources, so you don't have to worry. What I'm going to tell you is true, and then you don't have to be scared anymore, all right? Now, the first thing you need to know is that, yes, it is true that the building in which we are sleeping was originally the home of the factory owner and his wife in this story. And I don't want that to worry you. It is, again, when I give you the facts, then you don't have to be scared. Yes, this is their house. But we have remade it now. It's been rebuilt, and now it works very nicely as a sleeping quarters for our classes. So you're going to relax, and everything's okay. The second fact you need to know is that, yes, the graveyard is right on the other side of that hill. It's half, three-quarters of a mile away. And, you know, if you want, then tomorrow morning, in the light, I'll be happy to walk you over there, and I will show you her grave. So you don't have to, you know, freak out. It's true. Yeah. So let's not be scared at all, okay? Now, here is the story. And I'm going to give you the facts. It takes place in World War II. And in those days, it was the first time that women were actually allowed to work. Prior to this, it just wasn't done. Women rarely had jobs. But now, with all of the men off fighting World War II, women were taking jobs in factories that they never had before. And there was a woman who worked in an airplane factory. She helped to create all of the airplanes that were used to win World War II. Roosevelt, as we will talk about in class next week, talked about the 100,000 airplanes, and there's a wonderful story around that. She helped create them. Okay, she was one of those people. Now, the problem with her was, like many of you, she didn't care much about rules, you see. And one of the rules was that you couldn't wear dresses with long sleeves, you know, and for obvious reasons. It was a safety rule, but rules didn't apply to her. And so there she was, you know, one day, working in the factory. And her job was very simple. She would pick up a piece of steel, and she would put it onto the conveyor belt, and it would go down the conveyor belt, and then it would get cut in half inside the little chamber there, you see. And that was the job. And so there she is at work one day, doing her thing. And she picks up the piece of steel and puts it on the conveyor belt. And she picks up the piece of steel and she puts it on the conveyor belt. And then she feels a little tug on her arm. And that's kind of strange, and she tries to pull it away, and then she realizes that the sleeve of her dress has gotten caught under one of these sheets of steel, and she is being dragged down the conveyor belt. And she's trying everything she can to get her arm out, and she's getting closer and closer and pulling harder and harder, and then suddenly, bam, down comes the blade, and it cuts her arm off. I mean, blood spurting everywhere. It was just absolute absolutely disgusting. And she's screaming and carrying on, and the factory owner comes running down the stairs and says, oh my God, are you okay? What happened? Oh my God. And she's, well, I'm going to sue you for everything you've got. You cost me my arm. I'm gonna sue you and take your whole factory. And the guy says, no, you don't have to do that. I'll work it out for you, really. I'll get you a new arm. I'll get you a golden arm. And the woman looks at him and says, you'd better. And boom, she passes out. You know, that's how that shit goes. And so the factory owner does this, right? He has commissioned the most beautiful golden arm ever known anywhere. No one has ever created a piece of art like this. It is absolutely beautiful. And after he had it, and he spent a lot of money, but after he had it, he really wanted to keep it. He'd never seen anything so beautiful, but he had to give it to the woman because otherwise, you know, she's going to sue him. And so he does. And he takes it to the hospital and they attach the arm to the woman. And then, oddly enough, man brings her flowers, right? And when she starts feeling better, he asks her out. And, go bowling, go to the movies, do all the things that you did in the 1940s. And the woman thinks this is strange because he never showed any interest in her before, but whatever, that's great, you know. And finally, the man takes her out to dinner, and then right there at the table, he drops down on one knee and he says, you know, I love you more than anything in the world. I've never loved anyone so much as I love you, so please, will you do me the honor of marrying me? Now, the woman is not stupid, right? He never showed any interest in her before the arm, but now all of a sudden he seems really interested in knowing all about her. And obviously, you know, marrying her. And so she looks at him carefully and says, I'll marry you. And then she reaches out with that golden arm and gently puts her fingers around his neck. And she says, but only on one condition. Well, what's that, dear? You have to promise that you'll bury me with my golden arm. And, oh, yes, dear, no problem. I'll be happy to do it. And she, you know, choked him a little tighter. And then she said, and if you don't, I'll come back. Get it. And
yes, dear. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so they got married. And they were married for 15, 20 years, something like that. And finally, the woman got sick. And the man went upstairs to see her lying on her deathbed. And, you know, he's very sad.
Oh, dear. I'm so sorry. It doesn't look good. And
her eyes are closed, you know. And then, very slowly, she opens them. And she reaches up to her husband with her golden arm. And she grabs him by the neck and she pulls him down and she says,
remember your promise.
Promise, dear, I don't know what you mean.
You promised to bury me with my golden arm.
Oh, yeah, okay, dear, I will.
And remember, if you don't, I'll come back and get it.
Yes, dear, okay.
And then she lets go. The man stands up and he goes downstairs and he sleeps on the couch. And in the morning, the sun came up and the man woke up But the woman didn't woke up. She was gone. And so the man calls the coroner, and he calls the dudes from the cemetery and the undertaker and all those people, and they have a funeral, and he cries, and they bury her. And then that night, it was starting to rain a little bit, and the man smiled, and he says, "Now, at long last, I can get that golden arm back." And so he gets ready to go. And it's starting to rain just a little harder, but it doesn't bother him. He's been waiting a long time for this. And so he gathers three things that he decides to take with him. He gets a shovel. He gets a burlap sack. And he gets an axe. And now he goes to the graveyard, and he gets to the gate, and he opens it very slowly. And of course, just as he's stepping in, lightning strikes, hits a tree trunk right next to him. A branch tumbles down, misses him by an inch, and he ducks out of the way, and undaunted, he carries on. He goes into the graveyard and walks slowly to her grave. The wind is beginning to howl now. The rain is falling faster. Now he puts down the axe, drops the burlap sack, and he sticks the shovel into the ground. He begins to dig and dig and dig until finally his shovel hits something hard. He dusts it off as he jumps into the open grave. There it is, the woman's casket. He opens. He sees the woman lying there, dead. Her eyes are shut, but they look as though they might just open at any moment. But of course they don't. And now the man smiles. "Finally, finally," he says, "I can get back my golden arm." Steps out of the grave, tosses away the shovel, and picks up the axe. He lifts the axe high over his head and then slams it down against the arm, severing it completely. There is still blood in her body that begins to fill the casket, and he takes the golden arm, leaps out of the grave as quickly as he can, and as lightning begins to strike and the rain intensifies and the wind howls, he grabs everything he needs. He puts the burlap sack out and sticks the golden arm into it. He grabs the shovel and he runs as fast as he can back home. He gets home and he goes upstairs. He takes the burlap sack, opens it, and takes out the golden arm. He looks at it lovingly. And there's still just a little blood dripping from it. He lifts his mattress and hides the golden arm underneath it. Then he tosses his shovel and his burlap sack, and he gets in bed to go to sleep. in a few minutes, he hears something far, far away. It's not really recognizable. It's just a distant sound, like... But he can't really understand what he heard, and was it just the wind? He pulls the covers up just a little tighter. And now, as he's drifting back to sleep, he hears the sound again. Closer this time. Maybe just down the road. He hears...
Where's my golden arm?
Now he becomes a little nervous. He pulls up the covers tighter, and he begins to think. It's all right. It's all right. I locked the door when I came in. And everything is all right. I have everything. I'm all right. It's just my imagination. It's nothing about which to worry. Just relax. But now he hears it again. Just outside his door.
Where's my golden arm?
And now he really does get scared as he hears his front door open and he hears the steps as something is climbing his stairs. Now he begins to shiver and he thinks, no, no, it's all right. I have everything that I needed. But now outside in the hall, he can hear her heavy breathing.
Where's my golden arm?
And he hears her footsteps. She walks down the hall toward his room. He hears his door open, and he hears her footsteps as she moves slowly across the bedroom. Now, tightly tucked under his covers so that he can see nothing. Terror grips him. But he thinks, no, it's all right, it's all right. I left with three things. I came back with three things. It's all right. And he goes over the list again. I left with a shovel and a burlap sack. And that's when he realizes what he didn't bring back. And now he hears her footsteps as they move. Until he hears her heavy breathing just above him.
Where's my golden arm?
And then he listens again. There's no breathing. There's no sound at all. What an imagination he must have. And slowly, he takes the covers down from his head. And the last thing he ever hears before the axe comes down on his neck is,
"If you got it,